Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, this one is from Rachel Harrison.
When I was in seventh grade, I had this friend named Gracie, and I wasn't one to have many friends. I was always searching for that one best friend, one that, you know, we could have sleepovers every weekend and, you know, talk about boys and get frozen yogurt, all the cool things that were awesome in 2013. And so I feel like it's a rite of passage to have that one friend who's not the greatest influence, and you have to kind of learn that they're not, and your parents try to butt out, maybe sometimes tell you that, you know, I don't think that she's great for you, but of course, being my young teenage self, I was not going to listen to that. And so one day, we decided to go to the mall, and I lived in Broward County when I was 13 years old. And, you know, I didn't have a job. I never did my chores, so of course I didn't have an allowance. So my mom gave me about $20, and she said, this is how much you have, spend it wisely. And so I slept over Gracie's house the night before, so we had time to talk about what we wanted to buy. And before we went to the mall that morning, she was like, you know, you can just take samples from Sephora, which is, you know, a really big makeup store with expensive makeup. And, you know, you can just take samples. And I was shocked. I would never think of taking samples. I had kind of like the devil on my shoulder and then the angel on the other side. And boy, that devil was speaking loud right into my ear. And the angel, it was there. I was kind of going for an ignorance is bliss type of mood, so I was thinking about the samples and the makeup, and I was so excited. I thought, I'm going to get all the makeup that I want, and I'm not going to have to spend my mere $20 on it. I could save for something else. So as we were talking about the makeup, other things came about, such as clothes, and I was like, have you ever taking clothes? And she said, yeah, everyone does it. You think people actually afford the expensive bra panty match from Victoria's Secret? And I didn't know. I was naive. My parents raised me where you never take anything. You know, you're very honest, mature. And so I was in under shock, but it was like amazement. And so then, you know, while we're on the way to the mall in her mom's car, we're texting about some methods we were going to use. I felt like I was in a movie. I wore a hoodie. I wanted to somersault into that place and run around like I was in a spy movie. And we get there, and we start off pretty easy, you know, wanting to get the hang of the whole I'm a criminal type thing. And so we went to the store, and I saw this shirt. Really liked the shirt. I believe it was like $9.99, you know, like that's half my budget. But, you know, I said, should I take this? And she said, no, you should buy this because then we have the bag to hide everything else in. And I said, wow. Genius, because this was genius to me at 13 years old. And so I bought the shirt, really cute shirt, and we continued to walk. We came across Victoria's Secret, which is a classic store. Everybody wants stuff from Victoria's Secret, including me. And so we walk in, and we tried to figure out which was the easiest to steal, so maybe like slipping a phone case out of a pack, hiding some underwear, like ripping the tags off and just throwing it in the bag. But then I saw something that changed my life at 13 years old. This sweatshirt. It was a white sweatshirt. It hung off the shoulders and it said on it, you ready? This is my favorite sweatshirt. And bam, fireworks went off. Just the pure simplicity, yet cuteness. I thought this sweatshirt was going to change my existence. So I was pumped. I felt the blood rushing through my veins, and suddenly my inner James Bond kicked in, and I took the sweatshirt. But there's more. I took two sweatshirts and I went into the dressing room and, you know, of course I tried it on and it was one of the best moments of my life when I saw the sweatshirt on me. And so then I thought, okay, so how am I going to sneak a sweatshirt out? So this thing was like $50. And so then I thought, okay, I will hide one of them in my bag, and then I will take the other one, and they won't notice. I'll just hide it in my bag, and then I'll give her back the sweatshirt, like it looks like I didn't like it, and she won't even realize that there were two. So, but then we came into the problem of a sensor. Sensors are like things that go off very, very loudly when you leave the store if you take something. So all of a sudden, I felt like my mind didn't control my hands, and I started ripping the sensor out of this clothes like a beast. A complete beast ripping the sensor out. And surprisingly, I got it out. And I was so proud of myself. So I got the sensor out. I put the sweatshirt in my bag. And I just walk out without a care in the world. I'm looking at the clothes like, maybe I should buy it, maybe I shouldn't. Little did everyone know, I had the sweatshirt in the bag. I didn't even pay for it. I just was pure elation, like in my whole body. So then I walked out of Victoria's Secret, and then I went to this other store, Claire's. And Claire's is the epitome of fake jewelry and headbands that break after the first time you wear them. And sunglasses that look like Michael Kors sunglasses, but are made out of this really odd plastic that somehow degrades. And so we went into the store, and the store had amazing security that I did not know about. The ceiling had mirrors so they could see you. Pure genius. But I thought I was more a genius. So then I was talking to the lady, like I wanted to get my ears pierced and stuff, like making sure like I was really interesting. You know, like I took out my wallet to make it look like I was going through all the millions of dollars that I had. You know, I was talking to her. I started walking around, perusing through everything. And I saw these sunglasses. And it wasn't so much about the sunglasses. It was about whether or not I could get away with taking the sunglasses. And I thought, great, I'd have another pair of sunglasses. And I would also have the satisfaction of not having to pay for them. So then I slid the sunglasses in my bag. I'm very sly. I didn't think she saw. And we walk out. So then Gracie and I knew then that we had to leave. So we walk out of the mall, trying to avoid any feelings that we were having, very numb. So just imagine a parking lot with not a lot of cars, and then past the parking lot, there's kind of like a sewer with grass next to it. So we sit next to the sewer on the grass, and I decided that I was going to try everything I had on. I put the earrings on that I took from Claire's. I tried on the lipstick I took from Sephora. I put on my headband. I was going to wear everything because I just felt so cool. And so did Gracie. And so then a car comes up and the mall security guard comes. And it was the worst feeling ever. So he comes up to us and he goes, did you happen to take some sunglasses? And then I realize I'm wearing the earrings I stole. I'm wearing the lipstick I stole. And my immediate response is, sunglasses? Huh? What are sunglasses? I didn't take sunglasses. And Gracie was much better at this because she did it before. And she was very cool about it, not a care in the world. So then he goes away. And I was going crazy. I felt beads of sweat dripping down my neck. My heart was beating so fast, I was surprised I didn't fall on the floor with a heart attack. And so then I thought, we gotta get out of here. So we go across the street to this little strip mall, and there was a vitamin shop there. And I called my mom and I said, pick us up at the vitamin shop. We got bored at the mall. You know, I really wonder what she was thinking when I told her we were going to look around a vitamin store. My mom comes and I felt relief. I thought everything's gonna be okay. And I get in the car and then I hear a knock on the window. It was the loudest knock I've ever heard in my life. And the police officer is standing outside. And this was a real police officer. I look at his gun. I looked to his face and back to his gun again, and there was no going back. I opened the window, and he looks at my mom, and he said, "Did you guys take sunglasses?" And I proceeded to say no. I said, "I promise I did not take sunglasses." And he says, "Okay." And then I was like, "Okay, fantastic." So we close the door, we start driving away, and we're at the stoplight that's right in front of the mall. And the guilt suddenly overtook me like a tsunami. I felt all the blood from my face completely rushed out. I felt dizzy, and I said, "Mom, I took the sunglasses." And she goes, "No, you did not." And I said, "Yeah, I did. It was a mistake. I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And then we drove back to the mall, and she got out, and she ever so kindly walked the sunglasses back into the mall. But I still had my other stuff that I did not tell her about. And we drove back home, and I still felt so guilty. But I decided, you know what? I'll tell her. I won't have to keep this inside of me until I'm married and confess all my sins to my mom. So then I sat her down in my room, and this was after she took away my phone. I was grounded. My first time in my life being grounded. I haven't been grounded since. And said, "Mom, sit down." And I sat her down, and I walked up to her, and I showed her the bag. Not bag. Bags of stuff that I took. And, you know, I was like, "Look at the makeup, the earrings, you know." I said, "That stuff doesn't matter. I want you to see this." And I pull out the sweatshirt with a tiny hole from it. And I pull the sweatshirt out, and I show her, and I said, "Is this not the most amazing thing you've ever seen in your life?" She goes, "It is really cute." And I say, "Can I keep it?" And then she says, "I don't know," when she walks out of my room. And on the way to school the next day, I said, "Mom, I really like that sweatshirt. You know, I learned my lesson. I will not shoplift again. However, this sweatshirt was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I will get so much wear out of it." And she looks down, and she says, it is really cute. But you have to promise me you will never steal again." And I said, "I promise, I promise, I promise." She goes, "You can keep the sweatshirt." And I wore that sweatshirt for days in a row. And then it somehow disappeared. And I never saw the sweatshirt. And I never shoplifted again.
Rachel Harrison with a story about a life that could have been of crime.
That's a good way of starting out. I gotta tell you, Michael, I thought long and hard before bringing in this story.
Because?
Whether or not it's an immoral story, it certainly is at the very least an amoral story.
What's interesting is the influence that Gracie had, because Rachel had no intention of stealing until she wanted a best friend.
Well, you are the father of a young girl who would never do anything like this, of course. But I've got to tell you, I was a young girl once myself. And as this young woman so astutely says, as Rachel says, this is kind of a rite of passage to have a best friend who gets you into trouble. And we have all had them. And thank goodness this story ended with what, by all accounts, is a very delightful young woman, Rachel, and she is one of the best storytellers I've ever heard, certainly at her age as a high school student.
She's a storyteller and a thief.
I gotta say, being a great storyteller doesn't mean that what she did was right or that we condone what she did. I did ask her if she got her parents' permission to tell this story. I think the statute of limitations on stealing amazing sweatshirts is over. But again, how can you dislike a girl who talks about her inner James Bond, who says, "I saw something that changed my life are you ready? Bam, fireworks. And she's talking about a sweatshirt. And then she talks about guilt like a tsunami. And she sits her mom down and she says, Mom, I took this. I mean, you could just go on and on with the examples of what Rachel does right as a storyteller. It's like watching the play Macbeth. You might not approve of what they do, but oh my goodness, are they fun to watch. But then again, what Rachel said at the very end, that she never shoplifted again, to my mind, that makes the story a true rite of passage. And in anthropology, we see this again and again, that cultures throughout the world, civilizations throughout time, have had young people, and coincidentally, it's been at age 13, generally, go through some sort of rite of passage. This wasn't what I would call communion or bat mitzvah or anything like that exactly, but it was something that young girls do. They get it out of their system. And I will bet my life that this woman is not headed for a life of crime.
Just to make it clear, we're not condoning any shoplifting.
We are so not, but we are absolutely encouraging great storytelling.
Karen, we are looking for more stories. How can our listeners get in touch with you if they're interested in sharing?
Steal a computer and email me at CN as in Nancy, EILE, that's CNeil at FAU.edu.
Or contact me here at WLRN, 305-995-2264. Our website also has contact information as well as archive stories, WLRN.org, and search for a radio and a public storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Mike. I'll see you next week.
Dr. Karen Neil is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.